Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch. Your experts in apparel, merch, uniforms, you name it, they got it since 1974. And as always, every year we always interview the winner of the NAIA Flag Finals. And, well, for a third straight year, that happens to be head coach Liz Sowers. Coach, is Dynasty kind of crossing your mind any at all?
You know, first of all, thank you for having me. This past year has been a whirlwind. Dynasty has been thrown around. And, you know, when you look up kind of Dynasty, it's the three championships. But every year I see as a brand new year, and is just as hard, if not harder, than the one prior. So I see them as individual championships, but it's nice to look back on the three.
And I know it does. It definitely gets harder every year. And I imagine it's kind of a tough one to kind of balance and put forward being your best as a player versus being the best, and having those being like two completely separate concepts. Talk about how you do that with your girls.
So, I mean, being the best in general, you know, you always hear the movies and stories talking about the underdog. And to me, I think the story is actually about the team that, you know, is on top, and the team that no one really thinks about, because when you're raising the bar, you don't know how far the bar is, and you have to just continuously push yourself. So there's some sort of drive, and the easiest thing to do is let off the gas. And it's super easy to, you know, follow someone. That's why they have the little rabbits when the dogs are racing, is because it's easy to chase something, but it's not easy to be chased and to continue to put on the gas. And I think that our girls have showed that they can continuously put on the gas, and they have this internal drive that is a story within itself.
Well, Coach, we did switch it up this year a little bit. We didn't do the compass bracket. From my standpoint, from me being a broadcast and enjoying flag football, I honestly like the double elimination format, getting everyone to come through twice, and not having, like, you know, half the teams banished outside in the backyard. I kind of liked seeing everybody. How about y'all? Did y'all like the different double elimination format there?
Yeah, I mean, I think when we decided that double elimination was going to be it, I kind of looked at how that might go, and I knew that was in our favor. I did like the idea of, you know, we ended up playing Thomas three times. It was like an NBA Finals best of three, and that was really cool. And we had to go through just about everyone we've gone through before in the past, but it felt harder, and I think that's really where our depth came in. And, you know, we're one of the only teams that has an offense and defense that are separate. And I think that shows when the championship comes around. Obviously, I played, you know, women's tackle football. I played flag. I played offense and defense. And I think you learn that in practice is where you spend most of your time. And when you have number one offense going against number one defense, you can't simulate that, and then the games are easy.
So one of the things that I noticed, and you know, not gonna point fingers either way, but this year Ottawa doesn't have the Florida swing. Talk about the difference in that and how that made it easier, harder, both ways, in through your regular season.
The Florida swing, meaning us playing the Sun Conference in the regular season.
Yeah, basically, because you still made a Florida swing. It was just through NCAA club teams.
You know, I think that hurt the game. It was not by my choice that we did not play. You know, everyone has their different reasons, and I heard a few of those reasons, but at the end of the day, the best teams have to play each other. And, you know, we've gone to Florida every single year. It's not cheap, and we're a NAIA school. So that's quite a bit of money that the girls are having to fundraise, or, you know, that the school itself is having to give up. But for the game, that's what's needed. In Kansas, there is no flag around here. High schools are just getting started. Like, it is unheard of. So we have to travel to get any competition that's, you know, somewhat experienced. And, you know, I think that their idea was to let us just play the KCAC schools, but I think that's overlooking teams like Kansas Wesleyan, who gave us a scare just as much as Thomas did. But, you know, in order for the game to grow, Kansas and our community has to see those Florida schools come here. But we'll continue to try to make the Florida swing next year.
Absolutely. That is, I mean, I think that's very true. I mean, you see the ribbon, the flags inside Mercedes-Benz when you go inside, and you see it growing in Georgia. And Lord knows, it's been around Florida for 20 years now. I mean, you know good and well that Tampa's a hotbed. Your quarterback's from Riverview. Got another one from Riverview, a wide receiver, if I remember correctly, as well. You know, flag is a sport that's growing nationally, and honestly, we've got to do, you know, we've got to make sure that we're doing what we can to promote it at the high school level. And
absolutely.
Because without the high school, who's going to feed the college?
And there's not enough teams to just play the same teams over and over. It gets extremely boring, you know, and it's nice to spice it up a little bit and see other teams.
So, one, with 60 teams that have notified the NAIA that they are looking to add flag within the next 3 to 5 years, how do we use that? Because if we don't expand flag at the high school level, and there's 60 new teams of 20 players each, how do we do that without dragging the talent pool down to nothingness?
I mean, I think just with the talent that I've seen from, you know, whether it be New York, Las Vegas, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Kansas City now entering, I guarantee you there could be 60 schools that have a pretty decent, talented roster tomorrow if they found the right people and the girls were able to find them. But at the end of the day, you know, we need to have the high school seeing that there is a college opportunity for these players, and they'd be silly not to add it with it, you know, an emerging really possible Olympic sport. I mean, this is something that a lot of girls have dreamed of but never knew they could do.
So let's take a look at your team from this previous year. One, I'm going to point out, I was getting all the stats together, and I saw, you know, I knew Madison had a great year. You know, just looking at the scores and the boxes week in, week out, I'm going, okay, she's having a really, really great year. She's cementing her place as the best quarterback in the league, and it's not a close second. But I get to this week, and I go, my gosh, 74 touchdown passes. That is, I believe, 12 more than Bailey Zappi for basically the all-time collegiate record. Regardless of level, gender, type of sport, plus 9 more on the ground. So you're talking about 83 total touchdowns. One, have you ever seen 83 total touchdowns accounted for by any one player?
I have not. And I think that Madison continues to impress me. You know, her story, she was one of the best wide receivers and was just playing her senior year at Riverview quarterback because they didn't have one. So coming to Ottawa, she really wanted to be a wide receiver. And we tried every way to make that possible. But we ended up, I was like, Madison, we need you. And she didn't want to do it. She was very hesitant, but she did it for the team and ended up actually kind of liking it. And I think she's on the verge of maybe being able to publicly say she likes it at this point. But it's just crazy. And then her watching Patrick Mahomes, I think helps, you know, because, I mean, they're both crazy in what they do.
I mean, they're both incredibly impressive dual threat quarterbacks. Obviously, Mahomes is an absolute professional in doing it, but just watching Carrera dance in the pocket and being able to turn something into or nothing into something has just been incredible, especially through the tournament. One thing I did notice, especially about your offense, is that you do lose Clara Beaudoin last year, but you add the talent back in spades. You know, Alyssa Linkus becomes your most of the time center. You have Mando out there a lot more, whether it be at receiver, at running back. You've got Addie Orsborn kind of as that utility spot, and you still manage to not forget about Jaslyn Camacho or Bailey Hodgins. Talk about the growth of your offense through 2023 and becoming that incredibly dangerous, can't even possibly leave anyone open for a second kind of offense.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I like to think about offense as we're continuously trying to grow and adapt and evolve with the game. We like to emulate different teams, not imitate, but emulate and bring things in, even sevens rugby. But if you think about it, Maya Quinn, Bailey Hodgins, Tatiana Dos Santos, they all could easily be starting quarterbacks on any team. And a lot of people didn't even really get to see their arm talent, but we have things that we're developing that is not your traditional just one quarterback. We're starting to think of ideas with Alyssa at center. She's like an NFL long snapper that can snap any direction, maybe developing some sort of no-coast offense and making it our own where, you know, you have receivers that are quarterbacks that are receivers, and you don't know which one the ball is going to snap to. Could be pretty dangerous.
Notice that with the snapping outside the legs to Orsborn, something that we had seen and pointed out that Orsborn is direct snap ready on every play, and noticed that and pointed that out, and obviously it came to fruition in a couple of games, including against Thomas there. But defensively, obviously Abby Brown's your leader, your coach on the field. But talk to me about getting in Suze Kaufman and DJ Paris, your two quarterback terrorizers, and obviously, we can't forget about Farron Maloof, Nina Grava de Peralta, back in the back end, making stuff happen. Obviously, Abby gets back there and makes it happen as well. One of the better linebackers in our league. But talk about your defense a little bit.
Yeah, our defense was amazing. And like every single year, we've won a championship on a defensive stop. It seems to always come down to that. And bringing Paris and Sue in and then ending up having them rush was extremely dangerous for the opponents. And I think that a lot of people don't really appreciate the value of a rush, especially when you don't have extremely mobile quarterbacks that you're rushing against. They don't have a lot of time. Then when you have the coverage and a QB on defense, if you will, in Abby Brown, you have those people that can cover while they're vulnerable and bringing a lot of pressure. It makes the offense be able to take chances and take risks because, you know, if you do make a mistake, your defense has your back, regardless of if they're at the 1 yard line on a first down or something.
And obviously it came through for you there. You referenced the 1 yard line. You know, take me back through you know, those last couple of plays there, you see Thomas's quote unquote goal line offense check in, you know, and you kind of have a feeling that Thomas is going to try to go with their bread and butter. I imagine you're probably not looking past there, but what were you telling your defense on how to stop that, and especially three times in a row?
You know, I knew that they were uncomfortable being in that position. I had watched the St. Thomas game earlier in the year. I had watched, you know, commentators talking about how they had gone 7-8, you know, missed extra points in a row. So from the 3-yard line is a little farther, but it's still a pretty close shot. And so I knew that all those times losing on the fourth down at St. Thomas, those were all sticking in the back of their mind. So I knew that we just had to hold tight. And we do that every single day to end practice. Offense goes against defense from, you know, 1 or 2 yard line. And it's just something that we're used to. And then I always say last one, and I'm offensive coordinator also. So if we don't make it, I'll say one more. And so our defense is, they said, is just like practice. It's like, actually, that's not it. We're going to go again. Actually, not it. We're going to go again. So, I mean, they were ready.
Well, USA flag football is, you know, becoming a bigger thing now. And, you know, there are players from across the nation, whether you look at a couple of coaches actually being on the roster and coaching staff, a couple of NAIA players. Talk to me about what that means for the growth of flag as a sport.
It's huge. I think when we first initially started NAIA flag football, and the whole other flag football world seemed a bit disconnected. And through the years, I've seen that connection. You know, we have Kennedy Foster is on the roster of 18, Jaslyn, Addie, Alyssa. And so right after the national championship, those girls were going to Charlotte to meet up with the USA teammates. And during that entire tournament, the whole group chat of the USA players, they were watching the games. They were sending the brackets. They were sending updates. And it's actually felt like, you know, the whole world, whether it be fives or sevens, it's coming together. And, you know, there were scouts watching the NAIA tournament. And I think you'll see more and more NAIA players coming up. You know, hopefully, I think Finland is in 2024. So you never know how many NAIA players we'll see there.
Well, Coach, thanks for coming on the NAIF Ball Podcast. Congratulations again on another championship. You got to be running out of trophy room space here in a minute. Might have to build another rack.
Yeah, we'll make more.
Absolutely. So, Coach, rest up and get ready for another year of flag football. I'm excited for it. It continues to get better and better every year. We saw the growth of it just from the box, just the fluidity of the game. And you mentioned rugby earlier. That's something I mentioned in the broadcast booth, is that this is feeling more of a football rugby hybrid now than yep. It did in year one, where it was mostly just football. And the game is growing. Numerically, it's growing in the IQ of the players that are playing the game and the way it's being coached. And it's exciting to watch this take off.
I'm excited to see where it goes.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIF Ball Podcast presented by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast as well as to our YouTube channel. Leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFBALL and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.